Well, welcome back to the Bob Davis Podcasts. This is going to be podcast 568, the radio show, the Bob Davis Podcast radio show number 51. So it's just been about a year that I've been doing the radio show. I am live in the studio, just woke up Friday morning, drinking my coffee. And so this show, I just want to do a quick open. I'm back in the studio, obviously. I'm back from the trip, and I don't want to go on and on with that because I do kind of in this show. But I decided to just sit down and talk. I really like doing that after doing a lot of production podcasts, just sit down and talk with really no notes or preparation. So this show ended up being kind of about setting the table for the election coverage, which I'll be doing. I'll be doing the state-by-state poll, the final state-by-state poll on Monday. So that'll be the next podcast. And then the next podcast will be the election coverage. So I kind of held off this week, getting home, getting everything put away, getting the truck cleaned up and put back in storage and blah, 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 blah. And kind of resetting, getting back to business, after the trip, even though I can do business while I'm on the trip, you know, whatever. So let's just go ahead and start with segment one of this week's Bob Davis Podcast radio show. And you'll understand what I'm talking about. Here we go. Welcome to the Bob Davis Podcasts radio show. For all the podcasts, visit the BobDavisPodcasts.com. Welcome back to the Bob Davis Podcast radio show. If you are listening on the radio and you don't know me, I'm a podcaster, and usually this show is designed to bring content from my podcast and put it on the radio. But lately, things have been changing a little bit, and I tend to be producing new content for the radio show, as well as doing podcasts during the week. So if you're hearing the radio show, you may not know me. If you are listening to me at the BobDavisPodcast.com or on Stitcher.com or GCNLive.com or iTunes or BlogTalkRadio.com or any of the sources where people carry my podcasts tuned in, then you know that I, among other things, travel the country in an old ambulance, a big old 450 Super Duty diesel ambulance. And I just came back from a really, really long trip. And so I've been producing this radio show in the truck. I have been producing podcasts in the truck. And the whole idea of the mobile unit, it's called Mobile Podcast Command Unit 8. The whole idea of Mobile Podcast Command is to be able to take what I do and go out and find the story and go to the story and report on it. And that has sort of morphed into traveling and driving across the United States and commenting on the places that I see and the things that I see. So I did a mega trip, starting with covering the pipeline protest in North Dakota, and then taking Route 2 all the way out through Glacier National onto Route 20, all the way over to Seattle. Actually over to the islands outside of Seattle, whatever those are called. I don't know what those outer islands are called. Then taking a ferry down and then following the Pacific Coast Highway all the way south through Washington, Oregon, California, down to Los Angeles, across the desert to Phoenix, from Phoenix, and that included Joshua Tree and Palm Springs. And then, of course, from Phoenix, I stayed in Phoenix for a few days, and then from Phoenix on through New Mexico, White Sands, Roswell, on up through Enid, through the Texas Panhandle, where I saw agriculture on an industrial scale that I have never witnessed in my life, and I want to talk about that. And on up through Enid, Oklahoma, and then through the middle part of the country back to Minneapolis and St. Paul, where I live. This is the third or fourth of these mega trips that I've taken. And so in the 2015 election cycle, the 2016 election cycle, starting in 2015, I have seen most of the country firsthand. And it's an amazing experience to actually be on the ground, driving from state to state, and see people doing what they do, see how people are reacting to what's going on. And so in this final show, before we know who will win the presidency in 2016, I'm going to talk about some of that stuff. Now, the reason this is an interesting show is that I have a thing called Gonzo Talk, which I originally started doing on talk radio. We didn't call it Gonzo Talk then, and then I've adapted it for podcasts. So when I'm in the truck, I tend to do an awful lot of produced content, because I used to do podcasts where I would, when I was traveling, where I would just drive through and record while I was talking stuff, and I kind of progressed past that. So now I feel like I have to go talk to people. Hence, I did a podcast on the pipeline protest, and I produced content about Casa Grande, which is a place in Arizona, or Tombstone, or Roswell, or things of that nature. So, what we used to do in talk radio was on Fridays, because I was such a prep person and such a crazy person about reading and reading and reading about what was going on every day, that on Fridays we were usually exhausted. And so the plan would be just to come in and talk and not really have any notes about anything going on, just spend 3 hours kind of talking. And that's kind of morphed into something I call Gonzo Talk for the podcast, which is talking. There's no notes. There's no plan. There's no outline at all. I am literally staring off into space while I'm talking, and do the show that way. So we're going to do that in this show. So I'll try to organize my thoughts as best I can and try to put this in some kind of framework so that it works for radio. I don't think I've done a Gonzo Talk for radio in a long time. So, and the difference between podcasts and radio is, you know, when you do Gonzo Talk in podcasts, you just open your mouth and start talking. And when you're done talking, you just turn it off. And that's usually 30 minutes and you're done. Radio has formatics and breaks. And, you know, you kind of have to, the first segment is a certain number of minutes. And the second segment is a certain number of minutes. And the third segment is a certain number of minutes. So you're kind of locked into this format. And so this will be a little bit different approach, because I don't think I've done a Gonzo Talk with the radio format in a long time. And I think what I'll start with is this theme of spending 2016 visiting most of the country, driving through most of the, literally most of the country. The only place that I haven't been, at least in Mobile Podcast Command, is New England. Now, I've been to Massachusetts, I've been to the state of New York, I've been to New Jersey, Connecticut, all through there in the last few years. And in fact, I did do a podcast a while back on the Jersey Shore, which is fabulous. But I did not make it in this election sequence to New England and New Hampshire, which may figure largely on election night, and Maine. And so I'll have to do that next year. But I literally have been all through the Mid-South, like Tennessee, West Virginia, you know, Indiana, Ohio, and the Midwest several times this year, crisscrossing across those areas. Iowa, when I was covering the presidential primaries. And of course, just recently out west, I went to Phoenix once, and then I went to this time drive the coastline again. So I've been all over the American West, and I've been to pretty much all of the states with the exception of New England. And I'm glad I did that, because I feel like we're on the edge of great change, and that the only way to really soften and get a deeper understanding of what's actually happening in this country is to travel. And the main takeaway from all of this travel, I mean, I know there's a lot of people that travel, but there's probably not too many that have literally circumnavigated and then gone back and forth, up and down the innards of this country from all kinds of roads, two-lane roads, not just freeways, but two-lane roads, mountain roads, back roads, farm roads, as much as I have in the last year or two. And I'm glad I have, because I have a picture of America in my mind that I think may be about to change pretty significantly in the next few years. I'm not saying that this presidential election has the weight that some people say that it has. I'm not sure that it's going to make that much of a difference. It might. I'm not sure if that change is going to come after November 8th, 2016. But it might. And so I'm really happy I got to see this country before this election, and got to see what people are doing and take the measure of people on the road before 2016, whether it was the people at Standing Rock, whether it was the people in Seattle on the ferry, whether it was down in Los Angeles or San Francisco or Palo Alto or Phoenix or White Sands or Roswell, or that incredible trip through this ridiculous agricultural industry, industrial wasteland in the panhandle of Texas between Amarillo and Oklahoma. I still can't get over that. Or whether it's back here in the Midwest where I live. So we're going to talk about some of that stuff in this show as we kind of, I just want to kind of set the stage for election 2016, which is coming up this next week, November 8th, 2016, in this edition of the Bob Davis Podcasts Radio Show. You're listening to the Bob Davis Podcast Radio Show. For all the podcasts, visit the BobDavisPodcasts.com. This is the Bob Davis Podcasts Radio Show. Nothing like hot coffee right after you wake up, just literally right after you wake up. It's so awesome. I love it. You know what else is interesting? I got to say this. So at home, I have beans, and I grind the beans before I make the coffee. And on the road, I just grind the beans before I go, or I just buy it ground. It's really interesting, the difference in taste when you actually grind the beans yourself before you make, right before you make the coffee, versus having the beans already ground. Just want to point that out. It's much better. So yesterday I came back and got Mobile Podcast Command squared away, washed and cleaned, and stopped by xgovernmentcars.com in Golden Valley at 2420 Nevada Avenue North, just because I always want to show Ed when I wash the truck and clean it up and everything. And we were talking about how awesome it is because, you know, I put 4,000 miles on that vehicle, and, you know, it's a 2000, so it's no spring chicken, and the gauges didn't move an inch, a scotch, the entire time that I was out. It's really amazing. And we were laughing about how good. He goes, I love that truck. And I want to speak to this issue. People say, you know, why government-maintained fleet, fleet-maintained government vehicles? Because the government, you know, municipalities and state police and whatever maintain these vehicles pretty assiduously. And then when they auction them, they're pretty solid. So I've had three Crown Vicks, and of course Mobile Podcast Command. They've all been really great cars, and they've all been ready to go, and they've all given me a yeoman service. So if you want to get a good deal on a car that will last a long time, that will do what you need to do, then you need to visit xgovernmentcars.com at 2420 Nevada Avenue in Golden Valley. In fact, you want to get your butt down there. And here's the thing. So Veterans Day is coming up. This is the day we honor all the people who have served the country in our armed forces, and Ed is offering a $500 discount, and he does this every year to people who have served, who are veterans. So check that out at xgovernmentcars.com in Golden Valley. So they've got the Crown Vicks. They've got, I was just out there, they got a couple of Chargers. They got an Expedition from the FBI that is super clean. They've got the Ford Police sedans, the Ford Police SUVs, the Chevy Impala V8s, and at least a couple of trucks back there. So if you need a work truck, if you need, a car, if you have a job, if you need a loan, you can get approved good terms. And of course, xgovernmentcars.com takes trades. They pay the highest values every day without all the bull for the trades. And don't forget the 3-day peace of mind guarantee exclusively at xgovernmentcars, or the 3-day love it guarantee exclusively at xgovernmentcars.com. So here's what you do. Get your butt down to xgovernmentcars.com, 2420 Nevada Avenue North in Golden Valley. See what's there, or you can check them out online at xgovernmentcars.com. You can see the selection right there, or call them old school, 763-777-8782.
xgovernmentcars.com.
Okay, here's segment two of this week's Bob Davis Podcast Radio Show. Here we go. listening to the Bob Davis Podcasts radio show. For all the podcasts, visit the BobDavisPodcasts.com. Welcome back. So, yeah, I've been touring the country, and touring a big part of the country this whole year my truck, doing podcasts, doing podcasts about where I am, and then doing this radio show. And I've been doing some speaking. I covered the primaries. I have seen Indiana and Illinois and Ohio and, Michigan and the Upper Peninsula and Northern Minnesota and Southern Minnesota and Northern Wisconsin and Southern Wisconsin and Iowa and North and South Dakota. I have seen people at festivals. I have seen people at protests. I have seen people at political rallies. I have seen political signs. I have seen people in distress. I have seen many of the cities that you often hear mentioned in political coverage. And I think the biggest takeaway from seeing the country, both, the tip of Florida to the northern reaches of Washington State, the tip of California to the at least as far as eastern Ohio and Pennsylvania. And, of course, Massachusetts and the state of New York at one point during the year. So I've seen much of the country, top to bottom. And I think the biggest takeaway, because the storylines that are used in the media to manipulate people are probably the worst feature of this year's election cycle, because honestly, people do not know what is true and what isn't true. And most of the time, it's almost impossible to make that determination. And I think that's one of the most important features of this. But one of the storylines is that the country is falling apart, and that if something isn't done immediately, we're literally days, hours, years, months away from a complete collapse in this country. And I am here to tell you today, Republican or Democrat, that is just simply not true. If Donald Trump becomes president, the world is not going to end. If Hillary Clinton becomes president, the world is not going to end unless they do something stupid. And that's something that's virtually unpredictable. The country itself, people are doing their thing. They are raising their children. They are running their businesses. They are going to work. The roads seem good. Some places are more challenged than others. But for the most part, I've been on roads in the middle of nowhere in Arizona that are like glass. I have been on freeways that the infrastructure issues are nonsense. And as far as the people are concerned, whether it is the people in the Southwest, the people in the Northeast, the people in the Deep South, the people in Florida, the people in the Midwest, people are nice. They are helpful. They have been good to me, and I don't see a country that is at each other's throats. And I think, I don't know who said it, it wasn't me, it was another radio guy, another podcaster that said it, and I thought it was a really important point. The country that you see, or actually I may have said it first, I don't know, but the country that you see on TV, the country that you hear about in talk radio, the country that you see on these shows is not the country that's out there. And when you travel, your opinion, you have no choice but to soften and adjust and deepen your understanding and opinions of what is going on in this country. You know, I talk a lot about storylines, and what I mean by storylines is are these lines of thinking that the media jumps on and rides until they dry up, and then they start something else new, or some event happens and they run that. And you're seeing this right now with the polling. You're seeing it with the Hillary Clinton emails. You saw it with the Donald Trump tape. These storylines that are explosive and carry, and people get worked up about it, and supposedly. But then when you get out there, you find people discussing politics with their families, but not always discussing politics with their families. Politics doesn't come up in the day-to-day conversation with people. It's actually pretty muted out there. People are actually very dissatisfied with the process, with the two-party system, and what has been produced for us in terms of this election, both candidates. And there, you know, when you talk about signs, when you talk about people working, yeah, when you go out west, because there's a lot of ballot issues out west in Oregon and Washington and California and Arizona, yeah, you see a lot of signs. Most of them are local. Most of them are for local congressmen, for literally assemblymen and, you know, local offices, and or for these ballot issues where people are campaigning for a certain issue, which is usually a number. And if you don't know the number, if you don't want to look it up while you're driving through, you have no idea what that ballot issue is unless somebody happens to tell you. So I don't see a country at each other's throats. I don't see people at each other's throats. They may take a dim view of somebody else's opinion if they have a bumper sticker or if they say something, but I don't see a country that is at each other's throats. I only see that on television. I only see that on YouTube. I only hear about these dark conspiracies in places like that. Do they come up in conversation sometimes? Sometimes laughingly, people talk about stuff all over the country, supposed conspiracies, but they know it's just fun. So I don't see a country that's falling apart. I see a country that has an economy that is really a force of nature. You know, some economists will describe an economy like a storm, almost like a tornado or a hurricane. You can't really control it. It's a force of nature. And I'm here to tell you that the economy is, in fact, a force of nature out there. I can't tell you how many towns I went into, small towns, big towns, you know, cities, where things look really good depending on what the regional industries are. You know, I went through a part of Texas, as I said in the first segment, I went through a part of Texas that blew me away because they're harvesting cattle. The best way for me to describe this, and I'm almost out of time, but I got to describe this because it's amazing. So you drive along and you see these huge stockyards, and there are clouds of fog around them, and then you realize the fog is methane and bugs that are feeding on these animals. And my windshield was bloody from all those bugs crushing against the windshield of my truck as I drove through there. And it's one place after another, some of them actually named after types of cows. Some towns, you know, almost all of them agricultural, on an industrial scale, a little worse for wear, a little faded. But I know that the smell that is wafting through the air that is somewhat repulsive smells like money to those people, because it's agriculture on a scale that I have never witnessed before in my life. Now, if I didn't tell you about that and you didn't know about that, you wouldn't know that that was going on, because we're supposed to be in the middle of some kind of depression in this country. You know, that's the best way to describe it, that we're involved in some kind of depression in this country. So the picture that you're being shown on television and on talk radio and in the world isn't necessarily what's really going on. That's the first takeaway. So we're going to continue with Gonzo Talk in the next segment. I'm not quite sure what I'm going to talk about on the Bob Davis Podcasts Radio Show. You're listening to the Bob Davis Podcasts Radio Show. For all the podcasts, visit thebobdavispodcast.com. This is the Bob Davis Podcasts Radio Show.
Baby, this is what you came for. Lightning strikes every time she moves. Everybody's watching her, but she's looking at you.
Just ahead of segment three of this week's Bob Davis Podcast Radio Show number 51, I am now, as you can see, I'm starting to wake up because I've had enough coffee now through the show that I'm starting to wake up. So I'm pretty excited about that. I want to thank the digital sponsor of the BobDavisPodcast.com all these months, Alpha Systems Pilots. You want to get there, but you want to be safe getting there, and that's what Alpha Systems is all about. They make this revolutionary angle of attack indicator. What is it? It's simply a visual indicator of the amount of lift underneath your aircraft, and it's so important on final approach, and this is where most of the problems in general aviation occur. It's the place you don't want to be without lift as you're making that final turn, and Alpha Systems helps you with that. The bottom line is Alpha Systems AOA saves lives, and their motto is Pilots Fly safe. Click on the Alpha Systems banners at thebobdavispodcast.com for more info about Alpha's revolutionary angle of attack indicator at thebobdavispodcast.com. And thanks, guys, for sponsoring the Bob Davis Podcast digital side all these months. All right, here is segment three of this week's Bob Davis Podcast Radio Show. Here we go. Welcome back to the Bob Davis Podcasts Radio Show. For all the podcasts, visit thebobdavispodcasts.com. Now, this is where Gonzo Talk gets challenging for me, because once I get going, I start getting all kinds of ideas in my head. Then we take a break. And during the break, you know, I do whatever I do, and I lose it. That's the thing about Gonzo Talk that can be so challenging. But I think what I want to talk about is what I've been kind of speaking on in a few different places, and most people that I speak to about this really don't understand, because we're in the midst of an election that, in the end, and in its purest form, they are forcing you to take the fork in the road. Either you're going to vote for this guy, or you're going to vote for that guy. And if you believe you should vote for something different or something outside the two-party system, then it's the worst possible choice in the world. The planet will explode. The country will go to hell in a handbasket, right? That's what you're being sold. So there's tremendous psychological pressure in the world right now. No matter what television shows you watch, no matter what news shows you watch, no matter what you listen to, no matter what you try to read, you're going to find there's, you know, it's commentators that are constantly saying, this guy, this guy, this guy, or this guy's an idiot, don't vote for him, or this guy is wrong, and this guy is right. And it's very much everybody's taking sides. It started with the endorsements, where, and particularly in the Republican Party, where people felt the need to force endorse, to force endorse people. Everybody wants to know who Leo DiCaprio is voting for. Everybody wants to know, who did I see? Louis C.K. is a great comedian. You know, he's got to go on television and tell everybody who he's voting for and why. I don't care who I like his comedy. I don't care who he's going to vote for. I don't even want to know. But it's all part of this pressure to sluice you down to the final gate, where off you go like cattle to the slaughter, to stay with a certain metaphor. And it's very frustrating because I think somebody actually did a story about that this year, just recently, that said that the networks have spent almost no time actually reporting on or discussing issues like surveillance, or trampling your rights, or whether or not the police are trained properly to handle situations so they don't shoot people, or what the defense situation is, or what the foreign policy situation is. It's almost all rhetorical, in the sense that this candidate says this, it starts a storyline, then the other candidate says that, or this happens to this candidate, or this happens to that candidate, and off we go again with the forced to endorse process, where you have to say that you're for this guy, or you have to say you're for that guy. If you're a candidate and you're running for Congress, you are expected to back your party's candidate. And if you don't, then it becomes an issue. And if you do, it becomes an issue. But we're not talking about issues. And I've said this from the beginning. I noticed it in the primary struggle. There's no other way to describe it with the Republicans. And it also happened with the Democrats. You know, people hear a lot about all the interesting warfare in the Republican ranks, but there's just as much of it in the Democrat ranks. And so one of the things that I have talked about when I go out and talk is I talk a little bit about the breakdown of the current two-party system. And I'm not going to go back through it, but we've had four or five, maybe six different two-party systems in the United States. This is when the two mainline political parties, which are a feature of our particularly stable republic, for good or bad, two parties end up being dominant in the House and the Senate and the executive branch. One way or the other, depending on how people vote, and there, it really isn't a parliamentary system that accommodates multiple political parties. It ends up being sort of large blocks political philosophy in the houses of government, in Congress, and in the Senate, and in the state houses and the state assemblies. Right. So we currently have a two-party system, which I believe is starting to break down. And I'm not saying that we're going to have a multi-party parliamentary type system. I'm saying that the current two-party system is really not serving the electorate. There is clearly a disconnect between what is being said by the political candidates generally speaking and what is going on out there in the rest of the country. And it doesn't matter which side you're on, depending on what is said or how it's said. This isn't meant to be a partisan statement. But we're being pushed to think of things as Republican or Democrat, but they really aren't Republican or Democrat, because it's very hard for either of the two parties to say with any degree of specificity what they stand for anymore. It's all broad brushes. I'm going to fix this, and I'm going to do that, and I'm going to give you this, or I'm going to give you that, or I'm going to make this possible, and I'm going to do that. But really, the president isn't going to do anything. The president is going to it is a political office, and they spend all of their time really wrangling votes and trying to get things through Congress. And Congress is the power in this country. It isn't the presidency. Even with all of the executive power, the presidency still needs the House and the Senate to concur, to vote, to pass laws that the executive branch then has to enforce. And yeah, you know, you can take a dim view of that and you can say that's nonsense. That's not the way things work anymore, yada, yada, yada. But that's pretty much what the office is. And if you, you know, it's an old story, but if you get on, if you can get HBO now, or if you have HBO, watch the Lyndon Johnson thing that Bryan Cranston from Breaking Bad was in. Watch him and forget about the politics about it for a second, but just watch his portrayal of the president, which is based on you know, real history, struggle with the political limitations of the presidency. That you think the president can push buttons and make things happen, that quote-unquote run it like a business, where the CEO says, I want Amarillo's plant closed, and it's going to close because he doesn't have to answer to anyone except the board of directors, which is 12 or 13 or 14 people. As president, you know, you have to deal with 435 congressmen and 100 senators. So it's a complicated thing to get things done. And if you don't have an idea what you want to accomplish, if you think you can just push buttons and make things happen, that's another thing entirely. That's part of the reason for a lot of the executive orders from both, you know, President Obama and Clinton and Bush, going all the way back to Abraham Lincoln, who has often been referred to as a dictator because he had to run the country in the midst of a civil war. And I don't want to go on and on about that. So it's a political office. And regardless of what is said on the campaign trail and regardless of what the media is trying to get you to believe about what's going to happen if you don't vote or what's going to happen if you vote for this or vote for that, literally vote for a color. That is not what's going to happen. And I think the hell of it is, and the sad part of it is, that we're in the midst of this situation where I defy anybody to really say, and some people are going to view this as sacrilege. Actually, I know people are going to view this as sacrilege on both sides of the political spectrum, so that's why I'm saying it. I defy you to actually make a case for why one of the candidates is going to be better than the other, because there's pluses and minuses to both, depending on what side of the spectrum you come from. And I don't think you can make the case that Donald Trump's going to be better than Hillary Clinton. And I don't think you can make the case that Hillary Clinton's going to be better than Donald Trump. And that's probably one of the reasons why so far it looks like a pretty close election. We'll see what happens on election night. But that's where we are. And I think in the midst of this presidential election, what's going on in the country, in the United States, in all of the many United States, these United States, whether it's Montana or Florida, what you're seeing is a slow process of realignment, both demographics and sociographics and people realigning what they think is important with political parties that don't necessarily reflect those desires. And I don't know that anybody really knows. And I think that's the uncharted waters that we're now in, even though this is an election that appears to be, for all intents and purposes, pretty much like the last three or four in terms of right versus left, red versus blue. I still think we're in for some pretty unconventional developments. So if I can remember that, maybe we'll talk about that in the next segment. I'll try to sum all this up in the next segment for this show. You're listening to the Bob Davis Podcast Radio Show. For all the podcasts, visit thebobdavispodcasts.com. Check me out on YouTube and Instagram and Facebook. This is the Bob Davis Podcast Radio Show.
Like a sound you hear that lingers in your ear, but you can't forget from sundown to sunset. It's all in the air, you hear it everywhere. No matter what you do, it's gonna grab a hold on you. Grab a hold on you.
Wow. Almost done with the show. It's hard to believe. And I want to thank everybody. We're just ahead of segment four of this week's Bob Davis Podcast Radio Show. First of all, I want to thank everybody for the donations that put diesel fuel in the vehicle. If you go to YouTube and type in the Bob Davis Podcasts, you'll see all the videos that I did from the trip. And one of them was about where the contributions go. And I appreciate that. I also appreciate people following on social media, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. Somebody put on Twitter, Kay Donna. You should link your Instagram feed to Twitter. Absolutely not, because Instagram is this fabulous place where people do not snark. It's just, hey, look at this great picture. Oh, wow, that's fantastic. And it's such a wonderful environment versus the cesspool that is Twitter. So no, I'm not going to link my Instagram feed to Twitter. If you want to see my Instagram feed, pop open the Instagram app on your phone and the pictures are all right there. And again, thanks for liking and sharing and favoriting and following on Facebook and Twitter and all those different social medias and the donations at thebobdavispodcast.com. Very quickly, I am going to do this newsletter. I'm really sorry, but if you want to sign up for it, I was going to do it in August, was going to be the first month. Never got around to it. It's a lot of work. So I'm going to do the newsletter. And if you want to sign up for it, you just click on that at the page at thebobdavispodcast.com. And there's a bunch of other stuff. Oh, yeah, the streaming. I don't want to forget about the streaming. The streaming is up, and if you hit the page on a desktop, it'll just start playing. Some smartphones, it does start playing. Some smartphones, you have to initiate it. But I really appreciate people listening on the stream, because you don't have to listen. It rotates the top three podcasts, so you can listen to those. And thanks for listening on Stitcher.com, iTunes, TuneIn, BlogTalkRadio.com, GCNLive.com, The Patriot on Sunday nights at 11 p.m. in Minneapolis for checking the show out there. And that's about it. So here's segment four of this week's Bob Davis Podcast Radio Show number 51. Here we go. Boom. You're listening to the Bob Davis Podcasts Radio Show. For all the podcasts, make sure you visit thebobdavispodcast.com and look for the Bob Davis Podcast on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. All right, so I said I would summarize in the last segment. Of course, with Gonzo Talk, I have no idea what I said, because I lose it all in between during the breaks, running up and down, getting coffee, and everything else. But, of all the things, I'm trying to think of the things that occurred to me on the trip, and the things that I saw, and the people that I've seen all over the country, and how my thinking about politics has changed. And as I said, I think we're witnessing, and it's an unusual thing it doesn't happen very often. It happens every couple of three generations. It doesn't happen all the time. I mean, you had initially the Federalists and the Anti-Federalists, then you had the Democratic Republicans and the Federalists, then you had the Whig Party come along, then you had, and so on. And so these new parties form around new philosophies to address certain things. One of the things that elected Andrew Jackson was the spawning grounds of the modern Democratic Party, which of course started with Andrew Jackson, was the movement of the country west and the pioneers out there in West Virginia and Illinois and those territories. At the time, that was the West, had different ideas about things because they lived differently than the people in Boston and the people in Richmond, Virginia, let's say. And they had different ideas about things, and nobody paid any attention to them because they didn't know that they were even out there. And the political system had to change and adjust to bring in a new kind of politics, which was kind of plain speaking populist, if you will, politics at the time. And there have been other systems over the years that have come along. I feel like we're lucky in the sense that we're watching two grand mainline parties, which have survived for years, both being, you know, sometimes sclerotic, sometimes strong, sometimes a great reflection of what the American people's aspirations are, and what they think, and addressing what they think are the problems, and sometimes being terrible, but in general, Republican or Democrat throughout. And, you know, you had the old, let's just say, for lack of a better term, Democrat Farm Labor Coalition that kind of formed underneath the Democratic Party, and then later the Civil Rights part of it. And then in the Reagan era, you had the Christian right and the strong defense and, you know, supply-side economics or libertarian economic ideas, you know, a la Milton Friedman and even more Murray Rothbard than that. That kind of formed during that era. And today, what I see are two political parties that really have lost their way. You know, the Democrats seem to be concentrated on, you know, minorities. They seem to be concentrated on, to an extreme, on figuring out what kinds of things that they can dispense. And the Republicans seem to be focused on this really dark end of the world. We've got to do this. We've got to put walls up. We've got to do this. We've got to do that. We've got to use government power to do all these things. And my criticism with all of it is that I don't think the answer to any of our problems has anything to do with government power. So I want to let everybody know that's where I'm coming from. I don't endorse a candidate. I can't even make the case to myself that one is going to be worse than the other for a lot of different reasons that are way too complicated to go through in this show. I wouldn't presume to even tell you who you should vote for. That is up to you, or whether you want to vote at all. That's up to you. That's your choice. It's not a duty to vote. It's not a privilege to vote. As a citizen, you have the right to vote, which is a different thing from a duty or a privilege. I can't stand it when I hear people say, well, it's my privilege to vote. No, you have the rights. You have your own God-given rights, and you have a vote because it's a God-given right, and it's written in the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence, and you don't have to vote to still have that right. That's a bunch of nonsense. That's the kind of stuff that drives me crazy about this election. But I have been driving around, and I've been thinking about a lot of things, and I've driven through Cleveland, and I've driven through Detroit, and I've driven through the old Rust Belt of America, as well as what I consider the new Detroit, which is San Francisco and Palo Alto and Cupertino and Seattle. These cities are amazing in terms of the amount of money and the amount of power that they have, because what do? Well, they make the internet. And that's our new transportation system. We are all not fully using it, but it is our new transportation system. Just like a Buick, you know, back in the day when they first started making cars in Detroit, and Detroit and Chicago became this industrial heartland of America. The heartland of the future of this country is in California and Washington State, and in the deserts outside Los Angeles. And in Los Angeles, it is ideas, it is software, it is the internet, and it's the hardware associated with that, which is a completely different thing from Detroit and bringing back those Rust Belt jobs that everyone seems to think is going to restore Detroit to some paradise. Detroit is, you know, San Francisco now. So I look at all that and I think, well, you know, what does the country need to go forward? What kind of vision do we need that for the future of this country? Technology, economic systems, monetary systems, housing, how things are organized, what our challenges are in the rest of the world. And I don't see either party really up to the task of being able to say, here's our plan and here's what we're going to do. Almost all of the plans in both parties have to do with more and more government. Now, I've talked about this. I go out and I talk about this, and people think I'm crazy because I don't think there's any point in continuing to work for either political party that continues to push these state solutions. Not because I think Washington is going to tell us to do things we don't want to do, or because St. Paul or Springfield, Illinois is going to tell us to do things we don't want to do. but because we are going to need a very loosely structured government and a weak government in order to take the most economic advantage of the political, in the political sphere and in the business sphere of the technology that is really burgeoning across the country. And I've talked about that more and more and more. So when I say statist, I'm not saying statist like George Wallace said statist, that the government was making him do something that was against his traditions. I'm saying statist in terms of a government that is so overbearing and so involved in every major decision that we make that it's slowing everything down and it's gumming up the process. So when I look out and I see the candidates, I don't see a single candidate. You know, there are third and fourth party candidates out there that talk about this stuff. But I don't see any of the mainline parties really talking about the kinds of measures being pushed through Congress that are going to solve those things. And I see a media that's compliant in this little game, which is this one is better than that one. And I guess to close the show, the best thing for me to do, I don't know if you've seen it yet, but I've become quite enamored of Westworld on HBO. It's a new show on HBO, and it's very controversial because there was an orgy scene, and lots of people are upset about that, which I thought was way overblown. But it is about a park where, you know, robots create this real life Western experience. But really the story is about how the robots are controlled and the ability to how well they are controlled or how not well they are controlled. And you know how they control them largely? They control them by updating their programming with new storylines and new flourishes that cause them to do other things. And I look out at the media and I see that and I say to myself after watching this show, and The Matrix had the same effect on me. After watching this show, I think, maybe we're robots, because maybe what we're doing is we're using this media to update our programming and update our storylines. We're really not thinking truly independently. We're not thinking like independent people. We're thinking what they want us to think. So that's really the takeaway for me on the eve of election 2016, that we had an opportunity earlier to really talk about issues, to really talk about where we were going to go. I tried to go out and do it, but people just, a lot of people in politics just aren't there yet. They do not have the language because they don't see it. I see it because I've traveled across the country and I'm living it and I'm seeing what is needed. And I'm seeing what we don't have. And I don't think the government can solve those problems. So here's the deal. Very quickly, election night, I'll be right here in the broadcast bunker, and I will cover the election and post that podcast the morning after. Good luck, whether you vote, don't vote, vote this way, vote that way, vote up, vote down, sideways, whatever you want to do. Enjoy the election, and then let's get to work the day after. So the next time we talk, hopefully, we'll have a new president. We're out of time. Boop. This is the Bob Davis Podcast's radio show.
Drink a baby down. Are you in all right? Leave your things behind. Cause it's all going off without you. Excuse me.
Well, that's it. That is the end of this week's Bob Davis Podcast radio show. So the next podcast, Podcast 569 and Podcast 570, are going to be election coverage. So the next one is going to be the state-by-state poll. I held off this week because there's no reason to do a state-by-state stuff because there's going to be a few more polls coming in. And as these races tighten, this is critical. So this is going to be the final look at the state-by-state polls. I refuse to look at the national polls. And you've heard my rant about that. And then the next podcast, Podcast 570. So this is 68. The next one is 569. The next one is 570. That last podcast, 570, is going to be election night coverage. So this is the way I do election night night coverage. I get all my screens up. I hook everything up. I do not watch coverage. I do not watch CNN. I do not watch the networks. I just look at returns. And as they come in, I talk about it and do my analysis. And then, I hit record, and then I record that, and then I go to the next thing. And as it comes through, what you end up with is a podcast that's kind of a compilation of the whole night. And as soon as the election's over and the returns are in, boom, I post it. So it's real time, but it's real time podcast style. So that is how we do it. Thanks again to xgovernmentcars.com for sponsoring the Bob Davis podcast. Don't forget, they're doing the Veterans Day discount. So if you are a veteran, if you have served your country, you deserve a little something, and you can get it $500 discount at xgovernmentcars. They got the Chevy Impala V8s, the Dodge Chargers, the Crown Vicks, the Ford Police sedans, the Expeditions. I told you about the FBI Expedition they just got in. So a lot of stuff, a lot of things to look at xgovernmentcars.com. Get your butt down to xgovernmentcars.com, 2420 Nevada Avenue North in Golden Valley.
xgovernmentcars.com.
So, okay, the election is all, we're all set. The table is set. We're ready to go. Next podcast, state by state roundup. Next podcast after that, election coverage for 2016. And blissfully, thankfully, it will be over. Thanks for listening to podcast 568, the Bob Davis Podcast Radio Show, number 51 for this week.